Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, David James here with you on this Friday morning. And we welcome in our friend Jared Stillman to the program, as we do every Friday morning at 7 o'clock. Jared, good morning. How are you?
I am just doing fabulous. What's the text line wanting to talk about today?
The text line's talking about a lot of different things today.
Well, there's two takes here I didn't hear, so actually let's get right to those. One is LD from McMinnville calls you Jared Toxic Positivity Stillman. I'd love to hear this one.
Okay.
The Titans have a toxic positivity problem. Also, I mean, this T. Higgins trade, what are you doing? How desperate are you for segments, Jared? T. Higgins trade.
How would that be desperate? I mean, to me, desperate was when these Titan fans in the middle of November wanted to sit there and talk about signing T. Higgins in the offseason when it was obvious he was going to get franchise tagged. Now, T. Higgins and the Bengals are at this stalemate, and it's like, I think the Bengals would sell, like the Chiefs did with Legarius Sneed, I think the Bengals would sell T. Higgins at, 50 cents on the dollar. And so the question is, do you want to get in on that? Because while there's a nice receiving core for the Titans, I wouldn't say it's a great one. I'd say it's a nice one. A nice receiving core for the Titans. They don't have the kind of that young in his prime guy to go with the young quarterback. And Higgins would solve that.
I mean, come on. This is a terrible take.
How so?
But
we spent a whole year talking about getting T. Higgins, and then all of a sudden,
right,
they signed Calvin Ridley.
Right.
Now it's like, oh, no, can't do that.
A whole year before they signed Calvin Ridley. They signed Calvin Ridley. So before they had Calvin Ridley, yes, people talked about T. Higgins. Now they've signed Calvin Ridley. They have DeAndre Hopkins. They signed Tyler Boyd, too. And I love your trade. The Bengals are going to take Burks. That'll do it. Well, that'll do it. All right, what about toxic positivity?
We don't even need to spend any more time.
This is terrible.
Don't you think Spears would be like the perfect complement to Zach Moss with what the Bengals want to do?
He'd be good. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So, if I'm the Titans,
can't wait for this trade.
I think it'll be amazing. All I'm saying is I think that is, if the Titans have the money, and I think they might because they're still middle-of-the-road payroll-wise, and I don't think the Bengals are going to be top four in the NFL in payroll, and when they give Ja'Marr Chase that $35 million check, because, I mean, it might actually be closer to 40 because you get the signing bonus up front. You get paid a lot in year one. I mean, when they do that, they'll have the third or fourth highest payroll in the NFL, and I just can't see the Bengals wanting to do that. I mean, let me ask you this. If the Bengals were to sign Ja'Marr Chase tomorrow and they were to rescind the tag on T. Higgins so they didn't have to pay him, would you be interested in signing him as a free agent right now?
Sure, that kick tires.
I guess.
So why wouldn't you pick up the phone right now?
Well,
and offer a below market trade. I think Burks
I'm not
and
really
Spears
high on...
is below market for Higgins.
Yeah, look, T. Higgins is good. There's no doubt. He's very good. He's he's 4 years younger than Calvin Ridley, or three. I guess he's about to be 26, right? But you probably have a higher opinion of T. Higgins than I do. I think he's very good. You've committed to paying a veteran receiver. The next receiver acquisition for the Titans is going to be a high drafted receiver next year, and that's what it needs to be.
Because the way I view it is you've got a quarterback you're paying $9 million to over 4 years. That should entitle you to be able to pay more guys.
He's talking me into it.
There's a lot of other positions that need to be addressed if you haven't
noticed.
Okay,
but the Philadelphia Eagles are and the Cleveland Browns are paying their quarterbacks in the $40 and $50 million range, and they're still paying multiple receivers big bucks. You're paying one receiver big bucks. You're paying DeAndre, number three money, and you're paying Tyler Boyd like number five money. So to sit there and say that you can't pay two guys number one money, I mean, look at what the Dolphins are doing.
I don't think he's worth it. I don't think T. Higgins is that guy.
T. Higgins would be the best receiver on the Titans.
Maybe. It'd be close. Be close.
I do not think that T. Higgins is in the Jefferson, Chase, Tyreek. I don't think he's in that class. But I wouldn't say that he's not in Jalen Waddle's class. They're different players. Like, their styles are different, but I would say that Higgins is probably in that Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, like that, is he a true number one, or is he just a really, 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 good player with a real number one on the other side of him?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think it's close, between him and Ridley. On the Hopkins front, it's been interesting because we brought this up yesterday.
Because our show's bullied DeAndre Hopkins into posting a picture on Instagram.
There's that. We talked about that earlier in the show. But like his point of view is one thing. What about from the Titans? Like, how do you, if you're the Titans, how do you weigh the risk reward of letting him play out the contract, and then if you're interested in bringing him back, trying to do it in free agency, or taking the gamble now and trying to extend him and maybe getting him a little cheaper than you would otherwise? Also, maybe the risk of him being 32 and the production falling off this year. How do you weigh that risk-reward if you're Rand Carthon and the Titans?
So I actually think it's pretty simple, right? You give him a little bit more money this year, you give him money next year, and you don't guarantee a lot of it. And so it's like you're hedging your bet. You're going to pay a little bit more. It's like insurance, right? Like, I'm paying so that if my car gets in an accident, I won't have to pay the full price for my car getting in an accident. And I kind of feel like if the Titans, like the deal that I've proposed is a 1-year extension with $16 million for next year, $4 million of it guaranteed, and a $5 million pay bump for this year. So that would take him up to, I think, $19 million for this season, which, given where the wide receiver market is, if Jalen Waddle's 28-25, I think that DeAndre's probably a $20 million receiver. And the Titans lucked out with the circumstances and what they got him for. And the leverage they have is, hey, like, we're going to give you more money this year, and we'll give you, you know, $16 million for your age 32 season, but we're only going to guarantee four of it, which would be hedging their bets. And you add the $5 million this year and the $4 million guaranteed next year, that's $9 million total. And I ask you this question. Is it worth $9 million to bet on DeAndre Hopkins that if it doesn't work, you're out $9 million bucks, five this year, four next year, as opposed to being in the situation the Titans found themselves in when DeNico Autry went to Houston?
If that's the way it played out, I'd say yeah.
Well, because to me, I feel like they're in the same spot with DeAndre that they were with DeNico last year. You know, very productive players, kind of older players. They have to, at this point in their career, be managed. They're not as good as they were 3 years ago. But I think it's a big hole on this team that they don't have DeNico Autry, and it's even worse that he went to the Texans. And so with DeAndre, like, if we want Will Levis to build something, I think that we should strive for them to have continuity at the receiver position. And right now, the one guy that we know is his guy is Hopkins. We don't know how it's going to be with him and Ridley. I mean, it could be David Givens. I hope not. But, like, we've been down this road before. Whereas we do know that there is something between Hopkins and Levis, and I would place a $9 million bet to see that it continues into the next season.
And what about this toxic positivity? Are the Titans about to be destroyed by positivity? Is the positivity about to rip the Titans apart from the inside, Jared?
I'm really worried about the constant barrage of sunshine pumping. You know, I don't think that the Titans suck as bad as everybody outside of the St. Thomas Sports Park bubble thinks they are. You know, the entire country, what was it, John Glennon's tweet said that the Titans are going to be underdogs in 16 out of 17 games.
They are right now, yes.
It's unbelievable. And, I mean, like, everybody thinks they stink. I mean, the Vegas over-unders think they stink. Everybody's power rankings. The ESPN FPI came out. They're 28th or whatever in that. So everybody thinks that the Titans stink. Except for the Titans, who, I mean, I listen to everything. Every move they make is a good move. There's nothing that could go wrong this year. Everybody, you ask Brian Callahan, oh, everything's great. He's sitting there basically implying that he would draft Will Levis over Caleb Williams.
Well, all these other coaches are like, yeah, this guy kind of stinks, man. I really don't like his attitude. And he's not very talented.
Well, I mean, not to sit here and say that the coach last year was better, because I do think that this team needs a little bit more of a coddler. And I think they do need a quarterback guru as their coach. You know Vrabel wouldn't be pumping the sunshine in the way that they're pumping the sunshine in right now. And I think it starts at the top. Like, I think it starts at, you know, I think that the Titans only want to hear good things at the very top. And that's what leads Rand to want to sit down with bussing with the boys and tell them, oh, yeah, we knew that the Falcons were going to take Michael Penix with the 8th overall pick. And it's like, see, our guys are so smart. And it's like,
I think my favorite one about that is the coaching staff one, though, how they got all their first choices. That was
every number one pick. What about Bill Callahan? Well, not him. Oh, okay, so not every number one pick. And then Rand admitted to a tampering charge while explaining that, saying that he asked – Brian Callahan if they were going to be able to get Bill Callahan, who was under contract with the Browns, which you're not technically supposed to do.
So if you had to assign a number to it right now, I'd put you on a 1 to 10 scale, your concern level with Tavondre Sweat. Where is it?
I mean, my concern level with Tavondre Sweat was like a 7 when they drafted him because of the red flags and the weight and the maturity questions and everything else.
We do a 9 now?
I mean, I would say it's probably like an 8 because this is the Treylon Burks start, and Treylon Burks didn't have the red flags coming in that Tavondre Sweat had. But I did see somebody said that he might have been in court for those DWI charges the other day, so he may have had to go back to Texas for that. I saw that on Twitter somewhere, so maybe that has something to do with it. And again, that's not like a new thing. That's something that we already know about. But the thing that pisses me off is that, like, the Titans drafted Tavondre Sweat 38th, and everybody was like, yeah, they probably should have picked him later because of all these red flags and everything else. And the Titans like, no, no, no. There was this big run on defensive tackles. Well, first of all, yeah. You took the second guy in the run on defensive tackles, and third, I mean, the defensive tackles everybody else wanted were the ones that didn't have the red flags. You took the one with the red flags, and then whenever I bring up the fact that, hey, man, like drafting guys with red flags, signing guys with red flags, that's what got John Robinson fired because Julio Jones had red flags with that hamstring, and Caleb Farley had red flags with that back, and Jadeveon Clowney had red flags all over him. And that's the stuff that got him in trouble. People get mad at me like, oh, my God, how could you say Tavondre Sweat has red flags when that's all anybody talks about is that Tavondre Sweat has red flags. I saw Jordan
Who are
Davis.
These people? You always say this like, people get mad at me. How could you say he has red flags? There's not a rational person, Jared, who didn't realize that Tavondre Sweat had red flags. Where are these people?
You read the same text line I read.
I know.
You know.
Show me the text.
Joe.
A lot of people listening to the program.
Joe.
A lot of different opinions.
Well, I mean, a lot of people listen to the program. I think we've learned, you know, that that's what happens when we've got the number one sports shows in town is that we speculate on DeAndre Hopkins' contract, and then DeAndre feels the need to post pictures of him working out with the team. It's like, no, 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 guys. I promise that Jared Stillman and Robbie and Joe are just talking bull crap. We want to, you know.
When he's working out with his AirPods in, you know he's listening.
Hi, DeAndre.
He's listening to us. Oh, yeah.
I
don't know that he isn't.
Bad news travels fast.
All right, real quick, though. Now, let me. I just want to go back to something you said. So you're saying that you think that this toxic positivity is dictated from Amy. Is that right? Amy's telling everybody to just say nice things? I just want to make sure we have this right.
I don't think it's dictated. I think it's more like everybody doesn't want to upset the owner, so everybody says everything's good all the time.
So Brian Callahan's out here getting asked questions. And, yes, I mean, you know, he gets asked about somebody. Yeah, they're doing great. Okay. I mean, the Will Levis answers he's giving are, as we've talked about, those go beyond just I'm coach speak positivity. You think that he's dancing around Amy like, I better say nice things about my team.
Yes.
Is that? Yeah. Okay. All right.
I think that's the culture of the building. I mean, have you ever listened to one of
toxic?
Those,
have it's you toxic?
Ever, have you ever listened to one of those official Titans podcasts before?
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's I listen to those. I'm like, they're going to go 17-0 this year.
Well, official team podcast. That's typically the tone, right?
Well, I don't think when I talk about the toxic positivity culture inside the building, I'm not talking about what's going on outside the building. Which I got to tell you, I talked about this yesterday. I'm a little worried about Bussing with the Boys. I think Bussing with the Boys.
I saw you do this. Yes.
I think Bussing with the Boys is becoming a little too homerific. I think they've got
Titans
a choice
PR.
To make.
They've always been known as such hardcore journalism. But,
well,
yes,
I'm just saying. I'm just saying, in my opinion, you've got two choices. And they're at the fork in the road because their careers are over, and now they're really, truly podcasters. So you can either tell it like it is, or you can be a house organ. And it's going to be more fun up front to be a house organ, because everybody's going to like you and everybody's going to want to dap you and all that kind of stuff. But the reason why Charles Barkley is as popular as he is, I don't know if you guys read the New York Times article where Kenny Smith got mad because Tanya Ganguly was on the elevator with them and Barkley was like telling her all the tea about TNT and everything else. And Kenny Smith was like, you shouldn't be doing this. And he was like, I'll talk to who I want to talk to. And so, and like Ernie yelled at her because she asked to talk to Ernie about, you know, the TNT stuff. And Ernie was like, you need to talk to a Turner representative. And Barkley was like, yeah, screw it. And, like, so you have a choice. You can either keep it real or you can be a house organ. And I think it's better to keep it real, like Charles Barkley. And I think the Bussin' with the Boys could be, you know, I'm not going to say Charles Barkley, but, like, I think that they could, you know, they could really do something if they want to keep it real. If they want to be a house organ, like, it's going to be, okay, you know, in one ear, out the other. And when you say things like, firing Mike Vrabel would be the biggest mistake they ever had, to, I'll tell you, the Boys are going to win the AFC South this year, sleeper team. I'm like, oh, God.
Jared, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to be with us.
Sure hope and Taylor we'll be listening and Will are listening.
See you guys.
All righty. Jared Stillman with us, as he is every Friday morning at 7. We'll react to what Jared had to say there coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.